Hi, how's it going? My name's Shane, and I'm starting a podcast called Hard Money, Hard Knocks, Bitcoin podcast, dedicated to shine light on those working to improve adoption in their local communities. And I'm starting off the podcast going around virtually connecting with all the meetup organizers across the U.S. And now I'm even going to be starting to cross borders, go to Canada, even talking with people in England. So I hope this helps meetup organizers get going more, be more successful. And then I also hope it gives people the inspiration to start a meetup of their own, you know, give them the courage, like, okay, there's help out there. Meetup organizers are great people. They're always willing to help. And so always reach out to somebody. They're always good. Bitcoiners are great people. So today we're going to be talking with Will from Cascadia Bitcoin and the state of Washington. So Will, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. Oh, really quick, I forgot to do too. The Bitcoin, current Bitcoin price is $21,595. You could get 4,630 sats per US dollar right now. And the current block height is 744,286. So sorry about that, Will. But yeah, so welcome. And Will, why don't you just get us going, kind of, you know, what got you going into Bitcoin? What got you going into starting the meetup, and just a little bit of your background and how the Cascadia Bitcoin meetup started?
Sure. I've been involved in Bitcoin for a very long time. When I got into it, it was kind of pre-Mt. Gox days, so very, very early. This time, I'm a developer by trade, but I wasn't at the time. And I was super fascinated by the technology. And I think, like a lot of other people at that time, we were just kind of fascinated with the technical aspect of it rather than, you know, all of these kind of sociological, political, philosophical implications that it's had that we've kind of like discovered over the years, right? And so I've been a developer in the space a couple times, but I decided to start a meetup. I got inspired by a buddy of mine, Bobby Shell. Shout out, Bobby. He runs the North Colorado Bitcoin meetup. He's over with Voltage. Really, really great guy. And he kind of suggested that I start a meetup. I thought it was a great idea. I'm located in Bellingham, Washington. And we have there's a meetup local, a local kind of cryptocurrency meetup here. But it's not Bitcoin focused. And like, shout out to them. Like, they do a great job with that. I've spoken at that meetup a number of years ago. But it's not Bitcoin focused. And I wanted to start something that was specifically Bitcoin focused. And so we just kind of dove in and created a Twitter account. A buddy of mine created a logo for us. And we just decided to get together for beers at a local brewery and just kind of see what happened. And through it, we've met just some phenomenal people, like absolutely phenomenal people, which tends to happen when you connect with other Bitcoiners. Like, immediately you have this like really crazy wide spectrum of things that you probably have in common. And so it's been a really exciting journey. We've only met a few times. We're a brand new meetup. We're still really small, but we're really focused on growth and just meeting new people at this point.
Absolutely. And so how long ago was your first meetup?
We're about to have our fifth meetup, and we're a monthly meetup. So we've been going for 4 months. We're kind of just getting to the point where we have some like really devoted people that are coming out every month that we met through the meetup. And so, you know, I have a good network of friends here that were super interested in coming. And I was really afraid it was just going to be my wife and I for like month after month after month sitting at a brewery, because we are a small town. We're about an hour and a half north of Seattle, about 20 minutes from the Canadian border. And so our purpose is to target the more rural areas north of Seattle, between Seattle and Canada. And so that's why we call ourselves Cascadia Bitcoin rather than something like Bellingham Bitcoin. The idea is that once we scale a bit more, we'll change the meetup location kind of all around the Puget Sound area, because we don't want to make it exclusive to just this very small area of Washington. So right now we're kind of focusing on Whatcom County, Skagit County, Island, Snohomish County, people who would otherwise have to drive down to Seattle for a meetup.
Yeah. So. And that's a great idea because, you know, I've talked to a few organizers trying to get going. And if you're in a smaller town, like, you're not going to be pulling huge numbers, you know, for a while. You know, be satisfied with a small group. Build yourself a small knit of true Bitcoiners who just need to get together with other Bitcoiners to expand their own knowledge, you know. And that's a great idea, too, because, you know, calling it Cascadia, not just so focused. And it's a broader spectrum, can reach more people. And if you got close cities to you, you know, what's a 15, 20 minute drive? There's the San Francisco Bay Area Bitcoiners who I just spoke with last week. They do something similar. Obviously, they're in a pretty good area to do it, but they have one kind of main hub for it. And then they have a bunch of other meetups around the surrounding Bay Area, you know. So that's a good idea for you guys. And if you ever need help, definitely get in touch with a Bay Area Bitcoiners guy. His name's Billy. So he likes to call himself, he's not the organizer, he's just a meetup, you know, kind of director kind of thing. Just shows people where to go, and he'll hop around each meetup here or there. So
we linked up with the West Coast Bitcoin Meetups group on Twitter, and yep. They've been super, super helpful.
Brian Harrington.
So I have spoken with Brian Harrington. I'm not sure. Is it Brian Harrington that's behind the West Coast Bitcoin Meetups group? I'm not sure who runs it. I got invited to it, and they've just been, you know, super helpful and in helping promote and helping, you know, helping me connect with other meetup organizers in the West Coast. I'm fairly new to the West Coast, and so it's nice to meet some contacts out here and people that are, you know, people that are doing things in a kind of similar vein.
Yeah, absolutely. The OC Bitcoin Network, I believe it's like, that's their Twitter handle. And then their like usernames, the West Coast Bitcoin Network or something like that. Right.
I think we're probably,
they were super helpful. You know, several guys from that group, super helpful in getting me going when I was living in Bakersfield, California a few months ago. So I'm very familiar with that group, and kudos to them for helping spread meetups across the West Coast. And, you know, that's going on here on the East Coast, especially in the South. There's a ton of meetups sprouting up all over the place over here. And it's just a really cool thing to see happen, especially if you're out traveling around. Hit up a Bitcoin group on Twitter and be like, I'll be in your area. A lot of groups will just do a spare of the moment impromptu meetup for you. So reach out to them when you're traveling around, and especially Cascadia up there, if you're ever in the Washington, Seattle area.
Right. I moved here from Atlanta. I actually grew up in the Southeast, and back in 2012 and 2013, I attended a few meetups in Atlanta, and they've got, well, at least, you know, it's been a long time, but you know, back in those days, they had a really, really good community, especially with all of the Bitcoin startups in the Atlanta area. You know, it was attracting a lot of talent in that space to that area. And so there were a lot of really interesting perspectives at that time. And that was at a period where Bitcoin was significantly different. You know, the regulatory landscape was completely different. KYC was somewhat new. You had all these founders kind of trying to figure out how to do everything above board and how to raise a bunch of capital and create a killer product and not get shut down.
Yeah.
So it was a very, very, very different time.
Yeah. It's always crazy to hear, because I just got into Bitcoin about a little over a year ago, February of 2021. So I'm still very new to it all. So it's always great to hear, you know, somebody who's been around, you know, with different perspectives and just hearing different names, and to think how early we are now, and to think about, you know, in 5-10 years, what people will be saying about the bigger names in this time and whatever. And I went to school and I originally wanted to be a high school history teacher, was subbing high school before, getting to, working in Bitcoin mining. And, there wasn't anything for me. And I kind of forgot where I was going with this, the history. I don't know. Do you remember where I was going?
Well, you know, it's crazy. You know, everybody's kind of gotten in at all these different epochs throughout Bitcoin's history, yeah. Right? I've got this tweet pinned on my personal Twitter, and it's something I spend a lot of time thinking about. Like in the early days of Bitcoin, we kept on, you know, we would kind of fantasize about this reality in which we can do all these things with Bitcoin. Like imagine in 10 years when we're doing X, Y, and Z with Bitcoin, and like we're here now, like we're there. Where we used to dream about being, like we're there now. And yeah. Something I firmly believe is like that story is not done repeating itself. Like there's this future that we dream about now, right? And we all talk about hyper Bitcoinization and you know, kind of we have one shot to defeat CBDCs and provide a very egalitarian future for people through Bitcoin. And it's like, wait till you see where we are in 10 years from now. You know, wait till you see where we are then. And like all of our origin stories are going to be so interesting. Like it's funny because I got involved in Bitcoin very early. And so I end up talking about that a lot at the meetup. And I always try to tell people, like, it's not that interesting, right? It's like those days are, you know, there's some entertaining stories, but like we're all early. Like we're all super early. Like yeah. if you understand this technology and its implications on some of the most fundamental systems and underpinnings of human society, like it's undeniable. Like it's not, this isn't late in the game. There's not this, in my opinion, it's not even an option that this falls apart tomorrow. You know, where we're headed is undeniable. It's difficult to define, but it's undeniable that we're headed there. Yeah. Right. And so, yeah, I also approached Bitcoin from a mining perspective early on. I was living in Northwest Florida and, I was trying to raise capital to start a giant mining operation. And we had this warehouse picked out and we wanted to design this custom HVAC system that piped cold air. And this was, you know, super early. This is when it was still somewhat viable to do CPU mining. Early on, I went to a local university and I borrowed a bunch of unused laptops and I had them all set up in my house mining Bitcoin on their CPUs a long time ago. I made like virtually nothing off of it because it was still like super competitive at that time. And that was kind of when GPUs were kind of becoming in vogue. And that was really kind of before ASICs. Yeah. And once ASICs came around, that just, you know. You had to have an ASIC to be competitive, like in any capacity.
Absolutely.
I
remember where I was going. Just to be able to look back, you know, what history is going to say about this period of time that we're living through, and just what a, you know, besides the fact that it's crap all around us, what an awesome period that we're able to live through. And if a grassroots movement like a Bitcoin revolution is able to happen, you know, what are historians going to be able to say about this period of time? And just how awesome that the meetups are going to be able to have an impact on the way history is going to look back on this. And, you know, we're not the psychopaths and all that. So come check for yourselves and see what kind of great people you're going to run into. Because that's been my experience, is just some really fantastic people. You know, the true Bitcoiners, which are easy to pick out. Once you get talking to them for a few minutes, you're able to tell who's a real Bitcoiner or not. And just, if they're a real Bitcoiner, man, you're going to meet a friend. You're going to meet somebody you can learn from and grow with. And that's been just such a beneficial tool for my growth in the Bitcoin space and my knowledge that I've been gaining throughout this past year and a half.
Yes, same. Some of the folks that I've met through Cascadia Bitcoin have been fantastic. Like I'm a musician. I love music. And you know, I just, one of the people that I've met through Cascadia Bitcoin hit me up the other day to like stand in for their bass player. I'm not that good. So I declined, but it was like, oh, what a cool opportunity. Like just because we have, you know, this common interest in magic internet money, like it opens all these opportunities for other things. And it's like, you know, when you have something that's this specific and like has this, you know, this kind of gravity of implications in common, it's really easy to find other things in common. Like Bitcoin is really, really good at that. Yes. And it kind of raises the question, like, why has money never been that good at this? Like, why have we never seen it be this good before? And it's like, once you start throwing fiat out the window and you start introducing these concepts of like honestly owning something, right? Truly owning something that can't be confiscated from you. Like, it just, it's weird because you have a lot of people on Twitter, you have a lot of people on Reddit who make these claims like, since getting into Bitcoin, I think this now and I feel this now. And it can be really easy to kind of write that off as like, man, come on, like, you're really sounding like a cult. But it's like, no, once you, like, this is upending fundamental ideas that we've held as people for, you know, over 100 years. And it's like, there are going to be interesting side effects that were, you know, impossible to predict. And we get to watch that. And I think specifically meetups are a great place for that, because you have this intersection of people with, you know, outside of Bitcoin have very, very different ideas, or even within Bitcoin, very different ideas. And everybody comes together and you all kind of share this dream, right? You know, I think that there are people that come to meetups because they're super jazzed about the idea and they understand it and they just want to connect with other Bitcoiners. But I think the most interesting stories that I've gotten from the meetup so far have been people that just want to learn. Like, are just super interested and they want to learn more, but, you know, there's so much FUD, so many scams on the internet. It's, you know, you're only going to get so far by kind of Googling around. You're going to be very skeptical of a lot of things. But, you know, here when there's this meetup that's not asking for anything, you know, we're not asking for, you know, anything other than them to come and share beer with us and I'll buy you your first round. And like, you know, it makes it very easy for people, like, very low barrier to entry for people to come in and, you know, take the orange pill, right?
Yeah.
You know, for instance, our first meetup, we had I was super nervous, you know, because it's my wife and I, and one of my best friends, and we're sitting there and we're like, man, do you think anybody's going to show up? and we had a couple people come out, and one of them was a local artist. She was a really cool gal. She's a local painter, and she came in and was super curious about NFTs, right? And I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be a tough one, right? Yeah. And so she came in wanting to know how to mint NFTs or for artwork. She left wanting to know how to set up a store that accepted Lightning, that worked on the Lightning network, and just sell her art, not sell NFTs of her art. Just I just explained to her, I'm like, are you selling right now? She's like, yeah, I have a website and I, you know, sell prints and I sell originals. I'm like, are you accepting Bitcoin yet? And she's like, no. I'm like, well, you know, there's no permission to ask to accept it. It doesn't cost anything to accept it. But once you start accepting it, you are now a part of the Bitcoin economy. Like, you are tapped into a completely new market segment where people will, Bitcoin nerds will flood to your shop to give you business to support you because you're on the same page. Right. And, you know, we've seen that with like local grocers and, you know, brick and mortar local businesses that, you know, start accepting Bitcoin. And then suddenly they have this entirely new market that comes to them, because it's like, I don't know about you, but, you know, I would love to go and patronize a local business that shares my ideals and shares my vision of the future. Like, I'll go pay more money to give them business because I want them to succeed, because they are, you know, instrumental in bringing about that future that we all want to happen, right? Yep. So it's amazing to see our transformation like that.
For that too, all you got to do is at that moment, because I worked at a brewery that started accepting Lightning payments, and all you got to do is convert, you know, on Cash App or Strike, you know, right before you go eat, get that current price. That way you're not overspending your Bitcoin, whatever. And man, it's so awesome supporting a business that does that, you know? Right. Anytime there's an opportunity, I could do that. You know, I will convert my money, my fiat dollars into Bitcoin just to support that business. Because one, it allows me to be a better user of the Bitcoin network, which enables me to explain to other people, have different experiences with different signing devices or, you know, hardware wallets, whatever. Just be able to have a way of expressing to people, look at these different options and not just be one-minded. And there, I also find the best user experience for myself. And, you know, I got my preferences on what I like to use. And so, you know what you need to talk to her about too is she needs to start doing Bitcoin art and then selling it for Lightning payments. And then she needs to get in contact when she does Bitcoin art with Bitcoin Park in Nashville, put on by the Nashville Bitcoin Group, Rod and Odell out there. And they're do like an art exhibit at their new venue that they got out there. So, you know, who knows what she could take off one day with this. So maybe tell her to start doing some Bitcoin paintings and I'll send her some sats one day for some.
That'd be amazing. You know, I hope she comes back. She came to the first one and we haven't seen her again. But, you know, we've had a couple people that showed up at the first one and we've seen every time now.
Yeah.
Shout out to Devin. He's the guy that asked me to stand in and play bass. You know, we met him through the meetup and he was texting me just the other day being like, hey, I want to start helping out with marketing and getting some, you know, getting some growth and getting more people to show up. And it's like, man, this is how it happens right here. Just organically, you know, you meet the right people. They want to take ownership. Surprise, surprise. Bitcoiners want to take ownership of something, right? Who could have seen that coming?
Yeah,
it's super interesting to see that. We, you know, one thing that we do, one thing I'm super committed to with the meetup is, I love to give away copies of the Bitcoin Standard to newcomers, right? And that's something I do every meetup. It's really funny getting a couple copies of that in the mail every month from Amazon. And so I, you know, it's part of my like ritual getting ready for the meetup where, you know, I'll take the books and put them in my bag with my laptop and head out. And I always like to bring a couple little props along with me, things that are nice.
Shout out to Jeff, the owner of Lengthwise Brewing Company in Bakersfield, California. He sent me 10 copies to give away to some meetups. So
amazing.
That's awesome, man, for all meetup organizers, if you have a few extra bucks to spare, buy some Bitcoin Standard books and give that away to people. Such a useful tool, so easy. Put it in their hands, make them take action and learn for themselves. You know, what better way to orange pill someone than have them learn on their own?
Right. We've been meeting at a brewery called Culshan Brewing in Bellingham. An amazing, amazing brewery. Great people, great space. You know, we try to give away a few of these every meetup, and I try to bring a couple things with me every meetup that kind of pertain to the topic at hand. Like the last one, I brought I wish I had it on my desk here, but it's a denarius coin from ancient Rome. And you know, if you are familiar with the story of the denarius, and it, you know, it's one of the greatest stories of currency debasement and coin clipping and devaluing a currency by the state that there is in human history. And it's really fun to take that to a Bitcoin meetup because it's like, this is what money used to be. And now we're blazing the trail for what money is about to be. Right. Yeah. And so that's super interesting. You know, we did that one time and we talked about the history of currency debasement. And so I gave away a bunch of copies of the Bitcoin Standard because that's like, if someone's truly interested and they want to dive into the, not just the what, but the why of Bitcoin, the Bitcoin Standard is the perfect book for that. Right. Absolutely. It's the perfect book. It outlines all these historical examples and, you know, it just starts making sense immediately.
And it's not about Bitcoin until the very end, you know, if you take out the last chapter that, you know, you can name that book like the history of money, you know,
right.
Like, it could be something entirely different. And that's a great part. It's not just, oh, they're trying to pound Bitcoin in me. It's, oh, no, I'm getting an experience on what money has been like, you know, through the past centuries. And it helps me understand our current financial situation, what happened in 1971 and where we are now. And it just makes things so much clearer and so much more obvious what's happening right now.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we just at our last meetup, we had a gal that came out and she didn't really know anything about Bitcoin other than criminals use it and it's bad for the environment. Right. And so that was a really fun conversation. Like, I love those challenges where people come in with these kind of assumptions, you know, things that they've heard in the media, FUD they've heard on, you know, from legacy media about Bitcoin or, you know, FUD they've heard from, you know, alt, for lack of a more polite term, altcoiners. Those are always really fun conversations to have because, like, they check my own ideas, like, because people bring in their own. You know, especially when people have negative biases toward Bitcoin and they come in to the meetup and just, and they're like, yeah, I just wanted to come and get some, like, you know, perspectives from just some Bitcoiners rather than people who are into something else saying negative things about Bitcoin. It's like, well, awesome. That's great. Like, we love questions. You know, if you're confident in your idea, you should have no problem discussing it with someone who, you know, wants to disagree with it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I love those conversations. We had a gal come in last meetup and, you know, bad for the environment and criminals use it. And, you know, one of the things that I always like to say to the argument of like, oh, you know, drug dealers, criminals and pornographers, right, is when the DEA raids a house that's manufacturing drugs, what do they find there? They find drugs, weapons and U.S. dollars, right? They find anytime some criminal operation is raided, you find U.S. dollars. So why doesn't the U.S. dollar have the same reputation as being used by criminals? Because I would say that it's actually much more consistently used by criminals than Bitcoin is, right? And so that's one where they all kind of, oh man, I think you're right. Like, that's a great point. And it's like, yeah, it turns out fiat is supported. Like, the entire reason that fiat works is at the threat of violence, yep, right?
Exactly. Like,
and so, you know, and I got to explain to her about how Bitcoin is helping secure the grid, you know, in terms of the environmental argument. And that blew her mind. She'd never heard of that. And, you know, a lot of people aren't aware of the fact that, you know, a lot of these power generation facilities, the power plants, they, you know, especially, you know, natural gas, et cetera, they'll flare this off to atmosphere when they're overproducing. When the grid demand doesn't meet what they're producing, they have to flare it off to atmosphere. And it's like, why would we not recapture that? But even all that aside, you know, I always like to kind of reduce the environmental argument to, you know, let's say we weren't doing those things. Let's say we weren't securing the grid with Bitcoin. Let's say we weren't making good environmental decisions with Bitcoin, and we're just hashing away with no thought about the environment or environmental impact. Well, I think that the energy consumption of the Bitcoin network, if that's what we have to pay to get a fair and permissionless monetary system that's free and open and permissionless for everyone in the world, you know, banking infrastructure is one of the greatest catalysts for economic upward mobility. And if we can provide that to everyone on the planet in a way where there are no, you know, only rules and no leaders, that sounds like a pretty good use of energy. Like, certainly a better use of energy than like moving an aircraft carrier across an ocean just to saber rattle to some other global superpower and then moving it home, right? That, yep. Those aren't even comparable to me. So.
And me and my buddy, we were driving down the road and, you know, we saw like one of those safeguard vehicles, you know, that go, the armored vehicle that goes, picks up cash, you know, Bitcoin fixes that. You don't need those cars driving around. It's internet money. And also you don't need to train people to go risk their lives. And especially in today's, you know, depending on where you're living, you know, all these wacko DEAs or DAs that don't criminalize criminals. You know, that's a really dangerous job to be doing nowadays. And not to mention is using fuel, and that, you know, there goes the environment issues and, you know, just so many cool different aspects. And I went to a wedding back home in California a couple of weeks ago and was talking to my uncle about, you know, the same aspect, just energy flood and everything, and really started opening his eyes when I got kind of down to the Bitcoin mining and what it does and how it can help the infrastructure. And he was like, wow. And he's a successful guy. You know, he's done pretty well for himself. So, and he kind of lives in California beach area. So he definitely has might have some particular views towards that, because here's the legacy media and stuff. So it's cool. It's so cool to see kind of like, at least, you know, oh, wait, okay. And then it's like, oh, sweet. I was that first touch that really kind of helped him click. And yeah, you know, that's the coolest thing. Like, my buddy will kind of give me crap for, oh, don't quit trying to give her Bitcoin for her tip. Like, she doesn't care. But it's like, what if that's her first touch that, or his, that, you know, gets on a buy here in a couple months or something, who knows? And then like the, you know, getting up, the meetup going, I have a co-organizer who helps me run ours. His name's Connor. And we got together and I found out we're like the same age. He has a fiance, and who's into Bitcoin as well. You know, I'm sure mainly because of him, but, And mine's been dragged along into this because of me as well. So we were able to go on like a double date just to kind of get to know each other, but also we're new to the area. So my fiance now has someone to get along with. So it's been really cool that aspect too. And, you know, just the relationships that you build with certain people in the Bitcoin space. Like I have some really genuine friends who I've met through Bitcoin, and just, you know, I wish I could keep in touch with everybody more because there's such great people out there who, you know, I definitely wouldn't have ran into if it weren't for all this.
Right. I think my wife is probably in a similar situation. Like, I think she's like fully orange pilled at this point, you know, probably because of me. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think the last time, like, we really talked about it, every now and then I'll be like, so how do you feel about all this? Like, you know, especially on the way home from a meetup where, you know, we all learn things every time we meet, right? We learn things just from our own thinking when, you know, when that kind of results from the stimulus of somebody else's idea or, you know, whatever. And we'll be on the way home and I'm like, so what do you think about that? Like, have you ever heard that idea before? Have you ever heard that concept in Bitcoin? She's like, no, that's entirely new to me. And she's like, I'll be honest, you know, there's a lot of the technical aspects of it that are still very much a mystery to me, but, you know, she's kind of says like, I have to take that on faith, right? I have to trust you. Right. And though you're my husband, like, of course I trust you, but you know, the ideas, you know, don't trust, verify. Right. And so, it's always just an interesting discussion to kind of suss out where those gaps in understanding are. But you know, the exact same thing is happening with us. It's like, we meet all these awesome people that are into it. And we happen to have like a lot of other things in common, go figure. Yeah. Right. And it's like, you know, a lot of these common interests just kind of manifest in Bitcoin. It's like when I meet somebody who is into Bitcoin, they're probably a very self-selective person with ideas of like personal sovereignty. And it's like, we're going to get along great. Like, yeah, that's, you know, when you start, like, self-reliance is one of those characteristics that is indicative of so many other things, right? Like, when you are committed to being reliant upon yourself, or, you know, reliant just within your own kind of family unit, like, there are a lot of other, I feel like there are a lot of other traits that kind of come along with that. That's just like the tip of the iceberg, right? And I think Bitcoin's kind of in that same vein, right? Like, if you're into Bitcoin, there are probably a substantial number of other things that you're super into. You know, like one big thing that we try to do at the meetup is we talk about privacy a lot and self-custody. You know, I heard you talking on a couple other episodes and kind of asking, like, you know, what's the primary focus of your meetup? And like, you know, what do you really like to bring to the table there? We love talking to newcomers, and we love talking about self-custody because so too many people have their Bitcoin on exchanges, which means they don't have any Bitcoin. And we are working super hard to get them off, right? You know, one of our last meetups, I love those little seed backups that are a bolt with a bunch of washers and, you know, stamped in the washer with the block mitt jig. Yep. I 3D printed a couple of those, gave a few away at the Bitcoin meetup. I gave away the materials to make a seed backup. And, you know, just kind of wheeling that out at a meetup, people are like, what is that? Like, what do you mean? I'm like, this is a Bitcoin wallet. This is Bitcoin right here. You know, I don't have anything stamped on it right now. I would not carry that into public, but, you know, but I'm like, yeah, all you have to do is get like a punch kit on Amazon for $20 and, a little anvil on, or just a hard surface. And, you know, it's great. We're, my wife and I are, expecting our first child. We just found out somewhat recently. And it was great because as soon as we found out that we were pregnant, I went straight out into the garage and I started making a wallet, right? And so I started making a seed backup. I'm like, this is kiddo's college fund right here.
Yeah,
and it's really, by the way. Yeah, thank you. It's really cool to be able to do those types of things. Like, you know, I can set up essentially what amounts to a permanent, unseizable, safe deposit box. That's for my unborn child's best interest. My child will have had Bitcoin longer than they've been alive. And I just think that's a really interesting concept. And I didn't have to ask anybody to do that, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't have to sign any papers. I didn't have to open any accounts to do that. I was able to do that in the privacy of my own home without anybody, well, aside from your viewers, knowing it. So, I think that's really cool. And I think, you know, to your point where, you know, you were talking about kind of people's first experience with Bitcoin, right? Getting off zero. I feel like getting off zero is like that. That's when things start to click for people. And so like another big focus that we have is on ramps, right? And me personally, like outside of the meetup, my big focus is on Bitcoin on ramps, is getting people off of zero. Whether that's like Bitcoin roundups, kind of like Coinbits provides that service of Bitcoin roundup, kind of like Acorn, where it looks at your transactions with like your credit card, debit card, and it'll round up the transactions, kind of like Acorn does into equities, but into Bitcoin. I think that's super powerful to get people off of zero, and low friction DCA platforms. Coinbits again is a really good example of that. Strike, unbelievable. The fact that you can buy, for a while I was buying a dollar of Bitcoin every hour on the hour, 24 hours a day. And then I was realized like finding out my cost basis for this is going to be impossible. Like, yep. And so it, like, as cool as this is, like, I don't know if it's exactly viable. Yeah. But you know, shout out companies like Strike and Swan and Coinbits, like they do a great job with that. I feel like they add a lot of legitimacy or perceptions of legitimacy to the space. And so we try to, we try to show people that a lot. So pretty much every meetup I'm doing a Strike transaction, moving it to cold storage, you know, while people watch, and, giving away a wallet, giving away a Bitcoin standard copy or two. Those are kind of standard practices at Cascadia Bitcoin. And, awesome. People have been coming back because of it. It's been really effective.
Yeah. So I'm a big fan of Cash App. I use it for like my actual bank now. But now they have roundups as well. So I'm able to use that aspect, with whenever I'm using my card. So I was really pumped to see that happen the other day. But get your Bitcoin off exchanges. Don't buy on an exchange, not your seeds, not your coins, not your keys, not your coins. We have a guy at our group, his name's Charles. And I believe he's Charles Palooza on Twitter. And he makes those 3D printed, what you're just talking about,
the block net jigs. Yeah.
So he made me a couple, gave a couple out. So those are really cool aspects, and really, I mean, how simple it is. And then go bury, some in your backyard or something. I don't know. You can do so many cool things, hide it places, and just know that rain, fire, whatever, it's going to be there. So,
right. And giving away these things, right? Giving away little like seed backups, like pre-made seed backups, obviously not seeded, right? With a recovery phrase, but they're, built so that somebody can just take it and stamp it, or giving away the jigs. It's like being Johnny Appleseed with like the seeds of liberty, right? Yeah. Like you can just kind of pass these things out, and they're little seeds that might of an idea that's to someone that's new that might grow into something, huge. They may go on to start their own meetup, which meetups are like, this grassroots Bitcoin movement through meetups is unbelievably powerful. I think that we haven't even begun to realize the full power of, nope, of these like hyper local Bitcoin meetups, especially really little ones. I think they have enormous power. And so you start giving these little trinkets away and these little ideas, and they go and grow into much bigger things. Like, I was talking about my buddy, Bobby. He inspired me to do this, to do Cascadia Bitcoin. And that's the exact same, the exact same concept. He planted a seed, right? And it grew into something much bigger. And like, granted, we're just a sapling, right? But I think with the things that we have coming up, the things that we're planning, we're planning a big event, right? I can't get into too much of it yet. I don't want to announce it yet, but we're planning a pretty large event. That's going to be kind of the intersection. It's going to focus on the intersection of beef ranching, beef farming, and Bitcoin, which is a super exciting space. Like, I think that's such a cool crossover of ideas. We just purchased or put a deposit down on a quarter of a cow recently, and it's grass fed, local. Like, these cows eat the same eat the same food that, you know, comes from the same place that our produce grows in, like, amazing. And so, you know, the idea is that we want to try to onboard farmers because it's in their best interest. They can make their, by cutting out a lot of these intermediaries and middlemen, you know, they're free to make decisions that might lead to a healthier product, but a slightly more expensive product, but they can bear those costs because they've reduced costs of the friction in between them and the consumer by switching to Bitcoin and shipping direct to consumer. And so it's super fascinating how that's all playing out. I'm still very new to this idea. I know that there are some really cool organizations that are focusing on this, like, you know, the Beef Initiative and, you know, the Salazzo and Clemenza on the Meat Mafia podcast talk about this a lot. And so I'm very new to that space, but it's something that we intend on bringing to the meetup in a pretty big way. Like Bellingham, Washington is pretty well known. There used to be a statistic around it, like we're the number whatever in the country of cities that consume their own locally produced goods, but we're up there. That's a really big idea here. It's super important to people here. And so if we can take the fiat system and throw it out the window and we can give business to local farmers that are, you know, that are here in the local area, like that's a win for culture. Just, it's so compatible with the culture here. That's something that's really important to people here. And I think it just needs to have a light shine on it. Right. And so that's what we're getting ready to do. Awesome. To be determined what that exactly what that looks like.
Yeah, well, get in touch with Texas Slim and hit him up. Just, he's wanting to build nodes all across the country. So hit him up and get in touch. But yeah, just, you know, all the different paths that Bitcoin can intersect is just unbelievable when you can really zoom out and just realize, like, man, it could change every aspect of my life, you know, in so many different ways. You've been really good at answering all the questions I was going to ask you. Thanks for listening to previous podcasts. But so about how many people do you get at your meetups, would you say, just so other groups could get an idea of what, you know, how many people, because not all groups get, you know, 100 people, whatever. There's a lot operating 5 to 15 or whatever. So
that's where we are, is in that kind of 5 to 15 range. Like it really, it varies greatly, meetup to meetup. Like we are extremely small, under 10, you know, we're a small area. And I think that's kind of one of our strengths right now. Cause it's, you know, we don't have like a very formal process. Like we just get together at a brewery and, you know, one of us will buy the first round and we'll just sit there and BS about Bitcoin. And we'll kind of, you know, I'll go into it with an idea. I'm really looking forward to the days where other people can hit me up that want to come and say, hey, I want to speak about a thing. Right. Yeah. So right now I'm kind of leading a lot of the discussions, and because the majority of people that are coming out are new to Bitcoin, but you know, that's not going to be the case. And, you know, in the coming months, you know, those people who were new are now starting to understand ideas about self-custody, privacy, and, you know, a lot of these kind of core tenets of the Bitcoin ideology, right? Even though I'm really hesitant to like say that, because I'm a firm believer that, you know, Bitcoin is permissionless and, you know, there is no defining characteristic of a Bitcoiner. Anybody can be into Bitcoin for any reason, right? And I think, and that's one value that we really try to make clear at our meetup. It's like, you know, you can be into it for your own reasons, as little or as much as you want. And so I think that attracts, like, we have a really, really diverse group that comes out in terms of ideas. And we just want to grow that. I can't wait until some people start taking the reins in terms of leading discussions and talking about, you know, their own uses of Bitcoin. You know, one of our attendees that's been coming since the beginning, he's a big musician in town, and I want to see him start selling music for Bitcoin online. I like on his own, set up a BTC Pay server or something like that, and you know, cut out sites like Bandcamp, right? You know, cut out Spotify and sell it for yourself. Set up your own storefront that requires like no maintenance. I want to see that happen. Then I want to see him come in and talk about that experience and talk about how that's impacted his, not just his own personal brand and personal business, but his art, right? Because, you know, it forces you to think in a different way. And I think that's so unbelievably healthy. And so like we try to bring a lot of those ideas and then we kind of wrap them in this like somewhat libertarian kind of privacy oriented way. And I think that's really compelling to people.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, I hope our group get people with knowledge. I always ask, like, is there anybody new here to Bitcoin? Because I would like to go into the basics for you and just give you a learning experience. And whenever I ask a group that, like, nobody raises their hand for the most part. So, we get about 15 people or so at ours as well. And we just had a guy ask to do a little demonstration on multi-sig or discussion on it. And that was really great. We're going to have a guy, our next meetup is going to be focused on like Bitcoin mining. And so we're going to have a student from the University of Tennessee. He's from Vietnam and he wrote a paper on proof of stake versus proof of work. So he's been asking me for a couple months on wanting to discuss that. So we're going to give him the stage to do that. And just what a cool feature about the meetup is powering other Bitcoiners around you. You know, there's so many bright minds out there. We need more people to speak out. And because those are going to be the people going out and causing more adoption out there. We need more strong orange-pilled people, you know, like ourselves, and to go around and spread the message more. So that's just what a beautiful thing, the minds that come together and the products that get produced. It's just
right.
It gets me so bullish on Bitcoin meetups. And like you said, we're just getting going with them, you know. I think there's a lot to come with meetups. You look at the way the Bitcoin conference is growing, and just I've talked to people who've gone to that and they just love the experience of being with other Bitcoiners. So doing something more often to put you in contact with other Bitcoiners, especially when you put these meetups on, a lot of people will be like, what? I thought it was the only person. I'm not alone. And just that's so cool that it's like, no, you're not alone. Come join us. Bring more. And to think what it'll be here in a year, you know, just it's so much fun. I love we do it once a month, too. And, you know, I don't necessarily need it much more. I don't want it to be a full time job. But I really look forward to that evening. And I always generally kind of meet and sit and talk with somebody new, get stuck with somebody new, and just have developed some really good relationships out of it.
Right. You know, the meetup is like the highlight of my month, like one of the big highlights of my month. You know, as I said, I'm a developer and I work with a lot of really, really smart technologists on a daily basis and have for over a decade. But you know, one thing that I've noticed is that through the last 10 years of being involved in Bitcoin and working with early stage technology companies is I get a lot of skepticism from fellow developers. And it's like, that kind of blows my mind, right? It's like, why are you not more into this? Like, why are you not more interested in this? Just even from just a technical aspect, right? Like the ideas of digital scarcity and this peer-to-peer network that subverts like this huge power structure. Like, how is that not compelling to you? Like, how is that not a compelling story to you? And so it always kind of blows my mind that more of my colleagues aren't interested in this. And, you know, so I've been that crazy Bitcoin guy at like every company I've worked for the last 10 years. And it's funny to like go and look on Twitter and see like CTOs of past companies that I've worked for hitting me up, be like, hey, I'm interested now. Like, I want to get into this. And it's like, oh, now you do.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. You do when the price is 60K, but not when it was 400 when I was.
Everybody gets the price they deserve.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
So. I got a buddy who's just impounded that in my head. And it makes a lot of sense now.
Right.
But yeah. So what is it that really orange-pilled you? What aspect of Bitcoin is it that really got you diving hard into wanting to learn more?
Honestly, I mean, Bitcoin was a very different time then. This was like 2011, or Bitcoin was very different. You know, the community was a very different place. It was a very different thing back then. For me, it was the technology. That's what got me interested at first, right? You know, the idea of making a digital asset non-duplicative, just that concept, the implementation of digital scarcity was super fascinating to me. Like that, that entire idea. And then, you know, the cryptographic aspect of Bitcoin was phenomenally interesting. Like when somebody first explained it to me, this was, you know, I looked at the website, and the bitcoin.org website back then was like super rudimentary. And I think this was before the alpaca video. Right. And I just found it to be really fascinating, like investigating the people who are working on it, the people who were talking about it the most. And they all kind of seem to have these ideas that I shared, you know, outside of technology, right? So, you know, sociological or societal ideas and philosophical and political ideas that I really identified with, you know, this kind of self-reliance. And, you know, this was before there were a lot of ideas of a store of value within Bitcoin. This is block size wars where that really kind of crystallized that idea, I feel like. And so it was a very different place. It was very, you know, digital cash. Like this is just a medium of exchange. And, you know, you want to buy your groceries with this. You want to buy coffee with this. And the fact that I could go and essentially make a change to the same data set that's replicated all over the world in seconds for free and transmit value to somebody like that, it was undeniable. I was like, this is something I have to be a part of. Like, this is so fascinating. And then it was later as we started, you know, as the ecosystem started to develop that, and, you know, some of the really great minds within Bitcoin started thinking of the implications of this. That's when the ecosystem as we see it today kind of started to form, right? Where we're talking about, wow, this like upends like fundamental power structures in the Western world. Like, this is huge. This takes power away from, you know, groups of people that are only allowed to exist because they are able to commit acts of violence to ensure that they get to continue existing. Right. And so that was really what got me. I even went and made an altcoin, in like 2013 called Ass Pennies. It was a big joke, and it was just like a fun technical project to kind of crack open the hood and like really understand the inner workings of how consensus and digital scarcity work within that type of project. And we did it purely as a joke. And then we were like, let's make an announcement on the Bitcoin Talk forum as a joke. Right. And so we start watching the network hash rate climb, and then we start getting GitHub issues of people wanting like security hot fixes. And then people started selling cloud mining contracts for it on eBay. We're like, we never intended to do this. Like, this was supposed to be a joke. Like, it's based on an Upright Citizens Brigade comedy sketch. Like, we never intended to do this. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was kind of the genesis of like, how I think that's kind of how I got into it. It was a technical aspect, and it just was something fun. It was this fun, cool experiment with neat tech, and, you know, it seems like there's more to it than we think. We just haven't kind of figured out what that is yet. So it's like this big blank slate built on really interesting world changing technology. So like, as a young developer, like, why would I not just like dive headfirst into that? So
yeah,
and we're still in the middle of that dive.
The longer I've gotten into Bitcoin, the more I wish I understand more of the technical stuff to it, because just what a fascinating rabbit hole of Bitcoin. Looking into all that, I wish I had developing skills and stuff. I'm starting to understand things more. I got a node about a year ago and trying to learn how to do all that when I'm a non-techie person at all. That was a little bit of growing pains for sure. But to have it up and running and slowly getting things figured out, still need to get more. But for the most part, I have a functional node. And now people could stream sats. If they listen to this on Fountain, they could stream sats straight to my node. So that's pretty cool. But it's the technical aspect, the fact that it's a technology ruled by rules and not by rulers. So beautiful is what money's been missing.
You know, I think that gives me a great idea for the next meetup. I think that we should set up a node or walk through like setting up an umbral or something like that at our next meetup. I think that would be a really, really cool topic. I'm surprised absolutely. I haven't thought of that before. So yep,
absolutely.
We'll definitely give you credit at the meetup for that one.
No worries. Do your thing. And you know, because there's so many, you need to challenge people, you know, people need to broaden their knowledge of Bitcoin. If they're in it to, you know, now, why not push them a little bit more? And because that's ultimately what Bitcoin is, that self-sovereignty aspect of it is what attracts so many of us. So we need the new people to understand that too. So teaching people about nodes and all that, that's a great idea. It's something that we'll be doing here at ours, because we do a structural, you know, topic focused discussion, and then it's just social time after that, and just something to hopefully guide discussion. So yeah, absolutely. Great idea.
Yeah. We, you know, one thing that we want to start doing is, being that we're such a small area, is we really want to have people, first off, our venue, great. We love them. I have not asked them to start accepting Bitcoin yet. I'd like them to see our faces a bit more before I start seeming like a salesman to them or something. You know, but, my buddy Bobby, who I mentioned recently, he and Brian Harrington did an episode of the Bitcoin is Hard podcast, where they talked about a lot about real estate. And, you know, they kind of mentioned, like, Bitcoiners need to own more
businesses,
more brick and mortar businesses, because, like, you know, I love our meetup space. Like, I love our venue. They're great folks, and I love giving them our business. I really wish they accepted Bitcoin. I really wish that we could pay for beers with Sats. That would be such a win for our meetup, which I think our big strength is onboarding newcomers. Mm-hmm. And for them to be able to come to a meetup and have their first experience be at that meetup paying with Sats, right? Because I have no problem saying, like, okay, well, I'm gonna buy you a beer, but here's how we're gonna do it. You're gonna set up a wallet, right? And I'm gonna send you the cost of, you know, a little bit, like $10 in Bitcoin or something like that. And you're going to go buy a round of, you know, a beer for us with that. Right. And so they get that first experience of, like, we help them set up a wallet. They get their first sats. They spend their first sats. They use the Lightning Network for the first time, all in the first night. And then they get to sit down with the people that showed them how to do that and share a beer with them and, you know, laugh and have a good time. Like, that's such a winning formula for getting people involved, because I feel like the hesitation from a lot of people is they feel like they're being sold something. And this is something I think about a lot. And when they come to a meetup where they didn't pay anything to come, they didn't pay for any admission, nothing's being asked of them, and someone's giving them $10 and buying them a round of beer, and they didn't have to do anything for it, like, That's a big time, and they're leaving with a copy of the Bitcoin Standard. Like, that's such a winning formula. And I, you know, it's just all about planting those seeds that grow into something bigger. Because, you know, they go home for Christmas and they tell their family about it, and they're like, no, hey, your perceptions about the Bitcoin world are a little bit flawed, and here's been my experience with it. And it just grows and grows and grows. And that's why these meetups are so instrumental. Because you're not just a face on the internet. You're not just a floating head in a box, right? Like, you become real. And I think what you're doing with this podcast and surfacing a lot of these stories, it's super instrumental. Like, this is it happening, right? This is it, you know, our abstract notion of how this grows, we're watching it. Like, we are Bitcoin experiencing itself.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's a pinch me moment when you truly step back and realize, you know, what we're doing. Just we're helping write history, essentially. And me being a history guy and having a good understanding of history, it's incredible what Bitcoin is doing for our world.
Right.
So are there any other, like, current projects or apps that you're looking forward to that you've been keeping an eye on?
You know, I focus a lot on ramps. And so I think that's kind of where my big interest lies. I think that's where kind of my value add outside of the meetup lies. And, you know, I've got my eye on what, you know, companies like Strike and Swan and Coinbits are doing. River Financial's another. I think one of the things that's had me really inspired lately is Jack Mahler's, you know, hit. Talking about how Bitcoin exchange fees are a race to the bottom. So he's like, I'm just going to go ahead and go to the bottom, 0%, and you can buy by the hour. And, like, that is such a remarkable thing to show to somebody who's a newcomer to the space. Like, you can buy this for no fees whatsoever and get it almost instantly in your own possession. And so you know, that those are the companies that I, those are the products that I find really interesting. That, and I haven't done like a technical deep dive on it yet, so I'm not entirely sure exactly how it works yet. I just haven't had the time, but authenticating with Lightning, authenticating to web services, kind of like how Stacker News has done, how you can log into Stacker News with your Lightning wallet. That is really cool to me. Using Bitcoin as like an identity provider across the internet. Yeah, sign me up. That's awesome. Like, yeah. I've really got my eye on that right now.
Yep. I got I just got a new computer not too long ago. When I got my note, I got some old junky computer just to get me going one. So I'm dealing with so many different sign-ins and stuff and trying to keep up on all that. So it's been a real pain. So having something like that, that would be awesome.
Right.
Something I'm not too familiar with. I've heard some things, but I hope I get to learn more one day just because it's becoming more popular.
Right.
So, and then just to kind of start wrapping things up, just your final thoughts on the Bitcoin space and just a last chance to promote your group and say a few more things about Cascadia Bitcoin.
Well, you know, in terms of the Bitcoin space at large, like, keep going. Like, we have a lot more work to do. You know, we're, you know, it's kind of a meme saying like we're early, right? But we're early. Like, we're early. We've just talked about why we're early. You know, this story is not done repeating itself. And I think it's really cool to see everyone kind of carving out their own role in that story. You know, for me, that's on ramps and a meetup. And that's kind of my, you know, my Bitcoin story. You know, funny enough, I'm actually working on a project right now called Orange Pill Stories, where people get to post, you know, post stories about really cool introductions to Bitcoin and introducing people to Bitcoin. Like, I find that a lot of Bitcoiners are really interested in hearing those experiences from other people. And I would love a place for that to, you know, to be shareable. But yeah, if you're in the Northwest Washington area and you want to come out to Cascadia Bitcoin, you can find us on meetup.com for Cascadia, you know, under the name Cascadia Bitcoin. We have a Cascadia Bitcoin Twitter account, and we have a Discord server with like two people in it. So if that's your flavor, feel free to join. And if you want to attend virtually, that's something we're going to be exploring in the near future. We want to hear perspectives from outside of our local area, avoid an echo chamber. And we welcome good faith debate and tough questions. And we're just going to keep on trucking and trying to grow.
Absolutely. Well, Will, I appreciate you being on this with me and telling us what you're doing up in the Northwest. And just appreciate you doing Satoshi's work and continuing, you know, pushing Bitcoin forward, because you know, with current situations, these meetups are still flourishing. So thank you for all that you're doing for us. I'm going to say a few more things and I'll catch back up with you here in a sec.
Awesome, Shane. Thanks a bunch.
You got it. All right. So that was Will from Cascadia Bitcoin Group up in the Washington State area. So check them out. And just thank you for listening. We are on Fountain App. You can stream sats straight to my node for listening. Value for value. So if you do, I appreciate that. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. If you need to get in contact with us, we're on Twitter as well. You could hit up the Knoxville Bitcoin Network on Twitter, also on Telegram. So thank you for joining us. We will be back on Wednesday with Grand Rapids Bitcoiners. So thanks for joining us and keep stacking hard.